Welcome to the Manager Tools Podcast for Monday, October 9th, 2006. Hello, this is Michael Ozan, and on behalf of Mark Horstman and myself, welcome back to Manager Tools. Well, today's an interesting show. If you're a manager, that makes you human. You're human, and that makes you mess up. You mess up, and that means you apologize. It's really that simple. So how come no one seems to apologize anymore? Unfortunately, for all kinds of reasons, the art of apologizing has fallen from favor. We think the primary reason is about power. Most people mistakenly believe that when they apologize, they're admitting weakness. In fact, an apology is almost considered to be an incredible show of strength. If you're apologizing, then you and the recipient both know that you've made a mistake or created an awkward situation. You're already in the doghouse. Failing to apologize doesn't mean it didn't happen. It says you don't think it's a big deal. And if your boss or associate or team member thinks it is a big deal, you have, just made your first mistake into a doubleheader. And another reason is that managers don't know how to apologize. And that's why Manager Tools is here. In this cast, we share an elegant 3.5-step apology and talk about some of the misconceptions and glaring errors associated with saying one regrets one's error. There are three parts: what not to do, the right mindset, when to say it, and how to say it. So, with that, let's get on with it. Well, Mark, this is a great cast. You know, this one came about because you had to apologize to someone.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me.
In fact, you did it because I thought you had crossed the line in a comment to another blogger. And the interesting thing about it was, you know, you didn't even hesitate, not even a second. You said, well, I guess I'll apologize.
Yeah, luckily for us, you were sharp enough to see that I had crossed the line. Obviously, I didn't think I had. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written what I wrote. And that goes to one of our concepts about apologizing, that one of the reasons people don't apologize, I think, is that they thought that whatever they did was right. And you and I have talked about this before. When it comes to rightness, nobody beats technology managers. They love thinking that they're right. In fact, they'll argue a lost point just because they believe they're right. And they'll win the battle and lose the war. But nobody ever did something that was intentional, or, you know, people don't normally do stuff that's intentionally wrong. And I think people don't apologize because they thought whatever they did was right or was well-intentioned. Again, even if it did, if the results were not effective, if it turned out wrong. And so people want to defend, they naturally want to defend their thinking, which when you start thinking about all the reasons you were right, it doesn't make sense to apologize. And so it's hard for us sometimes to see our own errors, let alone own up to them. But nevertheless, in this case, you were right. And it really doesn't even matter if you were. There was a perception and there was a concern. And I have a very low threshold to apologizing. So I did. I apologize all the time. I don't necessarily think I mess up more than anybody else. But I sure do apologize a lot more than other people. I consider apologizing to be an enormous competitive advantage because it takes people by surprise, because it's actually what most people would say comes as a position of weakness, actually comes as a position of strength. So,
now, do you have the blog post open? It might be useful to share the actual apology with folks so they kind of know what we're talking about, or they have an example of what we're going to talk about here in a second.
Sure. Yeah, I do. I kept it.
if you didn't, I did.
Pleasant reminder of humanity, hard at work at my life. A blogger made a comment which I took offense to in a professional way regarding something we had said on Manager Tools. So I wrote him a short note, which he did not appreciate at all. And so this is what I wrote him in return. Please accept my humble apologies for my egregious gaffe. I was wrong. My comments to you were ill-advised, and I'm genuinely sorry for those comments. Further, I trebled my error by doing so on your blog. That exacerbated my rudeness. There's simply no excuse for it. The forum issue, and in this case, he was upset that I had replied to him on his blog. So that was the forum, his blog. The forum issue that you brought up reminds me of the story of the English reporter who happened upon a member of parliament whom he had recently editorially excoriated in a washroom. He apologized. "My dear chap," he said, embarrassed, "I was wrong. Here and now, I wish to apologize." The MP replied, "Very well, but next time I wish you'd insult me in the washroom and apologize in your newspaper. I hope my public mea culpa here reaches that standard. With every hope of reconciliation, I am, regretfully yours, Mark." And, you know, fortunately, the recipient replied, "Apology accepted, of course." Classy response.
Yeah, I just love that a mistake you made turns into a cast for us.
Yeah, sweet. Great.
Let's keep doing it. That's great.
Stick around, buddy. There'll be more of that, you can be sure.
The price you pay for having an opinion.
Yeah, I think that may very well be. I think the having an opinion is going to put you in situations where people perceive offense sometimes. Although I am reminded every once in a while of John Wayne's quote saying, "If you think I've offended you, you're mistaken. Because if I've offended you, you'll damn sure know it."
Okay, so what about the cast? How are we going to approach this unusual topic?
Right. Three parts. First of all, we're going to talk about what not to do. There are a lot of ways to mess this up. We're going to cover some of them. Really, there are some assumptions, I think, that we ought to get out in the open that are just plain wrong that keep people from apologizing. And they're not all just ego, which is probably one of the biggest reasons why people mess it up. Second, we're going to talk about the right mindset. It really helps to be in a certain frame of mind or an emotional state to deliver an effective apology. I found this is perhaps more important than the steps for me. And I think surprisingly, when people hear it, knowing my persona, they'll be surprised that I'm very comfortable in this mindset. I think it'll surprise most people. And the third thing is, in classic manager tools fashion, what to say and how to say it. Four parts, brief and beautiful. The great definition of elegant. So,
things not to do. One thing that struck me about your apology was, I mean, you apologize, but you clearly had no intent to cause them to be upset. Matter of fact, there's the second part of your response to him. Was misinterpreted.
Yes.
He thought you were commenting on the fact that he had upset you when you were really commenting on his earlier post. But nonetheless, you had no intent, but you know, it took you about a second to decide you were going to apologize.
Yeah. Lack of intent does not absolve you from apologizing. People excuse themselves because their intent was pure or good or well-guided or whatever. I could have easily said, well, he just didn't get it. And in his response to me, he suggested that, well, I took offense to something when, in fact, I hadn't at all. And that's what motivated my comment, which I find interesting, Mike, that we're so focused on behavior that essentially what this person did was assume some things where there was no data and evidence that. And when you start talking about people's intent, when it comes to feedback or in general management, you're in real danger. We really are terrible as human beings at interpreting other people's intent. But basically, if you believe your intent was pure or good, then you'd say, well, you know, why should I apologize? I meant well, something just went wrong. And it comes across as I was actually doing what I thought was the right thing. You know, in other words, they're excusing themselves in advance. They're watering down the apology or their offense by excusing themselves. They say, I could never have guessed what would have happened, or you would have done the same thing in my shoes. You understand, don't you? These are a particular form of excuse that I sometimes call the "I didn't mean it" defense, you know, and that just doesn't, I mean, it really doesn't get you very far. They're wrong. Think about it. You'd never say to your boss or team, now listen carefully here. You'd never say to your boss or team that you don't want credit for the big success you guys had because it was a mistake you made that led you to the discovery that got you there. In that case, your intent was wrong. You were on the wrong path. You made a mistake, though, corrected it, and got where you needed to go. And yet, when you achieve the great results, you still want credit for them, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, meaning everybody knows it's results that matter, except when the results aren't what we think, and then we want to talk about intent. You can't eat your cake and have it too by asking for credit for your intent when you should be apologizing for the result. It doesn't matter what you had planned, what you intended, or what you expected. What matters is that you regret what happened. Simple as that. Your intent in the actions has no part in the apology and does not change the way you deliver it, period.
Yeah, and when you're apologizing, not only did you not speak to the fact that you didn't intend, that your intent wasn't at issue, you didn't offer any excuses either.
Yeah.
You're pretty clear. You're pretty blunt about the fact that you messed up and you groveled a bit but there were no excuses in there. Oh, I intended this I thought this or you misunderstood me. None of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I really learned this one the hard way, Mike. One of my weaknesses is ego about my intellect. You know, some people out there are probably saying right now, yeah, sure, right, he can say that. But we all ought to be clear. Drucker says we ought to be clear about our strengths and weaknesses. That's one of my weaknesses. And it bothers me. I work on it and probably am not as effective at it as I should be. And what that means is early on in my professional life, I would not apologize or talk about excuses or talk about intent because I knew I was doing the right thing. I mean, I was smart. I should know what was going to happen. It was clear to me that the plan was effective, it was correct, and so on. So it would be easy for me to defend the rightness of my statement because I knew it was, quote, right. Of course, nobody gets to define the ultimate right. It was just right from my perspective. This is very similar. Saying no excuses, don't talk about excuses, is very similar to don't talk about intent. All we're doing here is apologizing. I found that the harder I worked to make myself sound smart while also saying I'm sorry, the less the sorry meant to somebody. And every time I put myself aside and said, regardless of what my intent or my excuse, or no excuses, I was wrong, I failed, please forgive me. The more I got wide-eyed surprise and, wow, thank you so much. You clearly feel badly about what happened. And I did. I felt badly even when I was trying to defend myself. So we're apologizing. We're not rehashing what happened or what you did or why you did it or what got in the way. It's not a hot wash. We're not doing a what went well and take a look at. It's an apology. There's no room in the four-step manager tools apology for rationales or reasoning, which are just nicer words for excuses.
Okay. Now in this case, you know, you offended this individual on his blog in a very public way. So you responded in writing on his blog, which would seem appropriate. But
yeah.
But in general, you don't recommend that folks do apologies by email, for example.
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the rules. Not by email. Never, never, ever by email. In the same way that feedback can be charged. Emotionally charged when you deliver it by email. It's one of the reasons why we don't deliver feedback on the forums or on our blog, even though sometimes it may be warranted. If it's a personal error, you deliver your apology face-to-face, followed by a handwritten card repeating your verbal apology. I don't really care if your team members are 11,000 million miles apart and they all speak different language in their local areas. In person, face to face, or its rough equivalent over great distances, voicemail/phone call at a minimum, no email. It just doesn't work. Now, blogs are a special case, but I really believe that the volume of email that people get and the over reliance on it, particularly in the technical space, is such that we need to make it clear: don't apologize by email. If you make a gaffe in person and apologize by email, you're essentially hiding behind technology. Yeah, it doesn't come across.
One time, you overheard me give an apology to someone, and you came. It was actually a couple of days later, but you came back to me and corrected me in one aspect, or gave me some feedback on one aspect of it. And I said something along the lines of, "I'm sorry if you were offended by what I said." And you described to me then in some detail why using "if" wasn't effective in an apology. Maybe you could share that with folks here.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you're offended is a little bit is related to another one, but the "if." Apologize if that came out wrong. One, if is inappropriate in an apology. One apologizes because one thinks that an apology is necessary. Once one apologizes, there is no if. In other words, you don't apologize if there's an if. If you believe it's necessary, if you've decided that the apology is necessary, as you're delivering the apology, you are acting as if, the definition of believe is to act as if, you believe that the apology is warranted, meaning you offended or you were wrong or you did something inappropriate. If you say if, you're saying what I'm telling you when I apologize might be moot. I think that sends a wrong message. It says that I may not be wrong. It's almost as if you're throwing out a straw poll, you know, a trial balloon like the politicians do, floating around, see what happens. I'm sorry if that turned out badly. And then the person says, often disingenuously, oh, no, it didn't turn out bad. And then you want to get credit for the apology, but in fact, at the same time, want us to be able to say I didn't have to apologize after all.
Right. Well, it's almost a subtle way of saying that the if almost implies that, hey, nobody else would be offended, but if you are, then fine, I will. So it's placing the blame for the offense on the other person.
Exactly,
which is not a great way to start an apology.
Yes, exactly. You hit it right on the head, and that relates to the next point, which is never say I'm sorry. You. I mean, think about it. Remember when we talk about the feedback model, we say when you do X. So many places you go on the web and you start looking for feedback information. I do that every once in a while and I chuckle at the things people say. They say, here's how I feel. Well, what does that have to do with feedback? I mean, starting out with how you feel is just can be very irritating for the other person. So when you start with "I'm sorry, you," it's almost, you might as well finish "I'm sorry, you're an idiot," or "I'm sorry, you messed that up," or "I'm sorry, you don't understand what I'm doing here." You're saying that what they did or didn't do or feel or don't feel is the rationale for the apology. But that's not true. When you offend someone, you're not apologizing because they're offended. You're apologizing because you did something that caused offense. One is the action, the other is the reaction. One always apologizes for the action, not the reaction. And in other words, if you were around a bunch of people who were not socially civil in some way and they didn't react to a gaffe, you would still be obligated to apologize to them. If someone made no mention of something and you didn't see that they were in fact upset, that doesn't absolve you of the responsibility to apologize if in fact you know you did something egregious or wrong or clumsy or socially awkward or obtuse in some way. You don't go around looking for the reaction and then when you see a reaction, go over and apologize to that. That's like spinning plates. I made a mistake. I'm not even sure that they know it. It doesn't matter. It's my job to say I'm sorry. When you say, I'm sorry, you blank, 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 you're not taking responsibility. You're sympathizing. And we don't mind you sympathizing, but let's not call it an apology.
When you apologize, do you have to, you know, correct? Is correcting the evil you did, well, in your case, is correcting your mistake part of the apology?
No, it's not. Despite what a lot of people say, now, in small things, sure, if you forget to open a door for somebody and then you decide to open the door because they're still not through the doorway.
Yeah, you shove them out the doorway and then open it again.
Right. It's not, despite what people may have read, necessary to correct a mistake. Look, if you've made a business or operational error, then yes, you're responsible to fix your mistake, okay? But this does not extend necessarily to making it up to someone. I think people think that they should take an action and the action should obviate or eliminate the gaffe or the mistake or the error or the thing that drives the apology. And that's not true. You're not supposed to right your wrong. In fact, civil society invented apologies to do just that, to right the wrong through discourse, through politeness in the form of apology. If you borrowed somebody's car and you wrecked it, no, an apology is not enough. And in that sense, you have to correct the damage you did. But that doesn't mean you have to fix everything before you can apologize. And I think a lot of times people say, well, I can't fix that, so therefore I don't need to apologize. Or, gosh, you know, that's going to be a lot of work before I apologize. Or what they say is, I will apologize, but it'll take me 2 weeks to fix it, and then I'll go in to apologize. I actually had one person say, Mark, the reason I don't apologize until I fix something is I want to be able to tell them it's fixed. Well, that then puts your reputation in front of your reputation for the error and correctness in front of your need to be respectful to the other person. And ideally in organizations, we want to put the other person first. That's a good way to go through life. And if you put the other person first, that means you'll apologize first. And right. It may very well be that you can then correct the behavior or perhaps not. It may depend.
Well, that, you know, if you wait to fix it, that it also puts a lot of time and distance between the event and the apology itself. And we've always talked about is you shouldn't wait to apologize. I mean, as a matter of fact, that's our next rule, right? Do not wait.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the best advice I've heard on this came from Amy Vanderbilt. She said, be swift and sure, right? If you wait, there's a perception that it's the fallout of your mistake. It's the gossip. It's the rumors that are driving your behavior. It's like these politicians that something happens and they don't apologize, even though they know it came out. And then the bloggers get a hold of it, or the pundits get a hold of it. Their Sunday morning news shows get a hold of it. And suddenly now it's a big deal. And Monday or Tuesday, people are coming out and saying, okay, let me apologize now. Apparently this thing has legs. There was no bigger mistake made over the weekend that I can fly under the radar of. And so therefore we put our finger up in the wind. Again, we sort of conduct our own little straw poll, throw the straw up in the wind and see which way the wind is blowing. And that way, we may not have to apologize. If you wait, you're essentially saying that stuff is driving you rather than your awareness of right and wrong and true ownership of your behavior and its consequences. If it's a small thing, you know, being late to lunch or being late to a meeting, do it immediately. Don't wait till the end of lunch or for a voicemail late in the day for the meeting issue. You know, just take those simple steps and you're done. Don't wait.
Right. And on the other hand, I think we're not saying that if you've done something egregiously wrong 2 months ago to somebody and you haven't apologized, we're not saying don't apologize. There's no statute of limitations on apologies.
Exactly. I completely agree. I think sometimes you can reconcile with someone just by going back to them and saying, you know, we've run into each other in the halls a couple of times. It's been a long time. We seem to be cordial now. But you know what? A year ago, I know what I did was inappropriate, or I know what I did put you in an awkward situation. I'd like to apologize. I'm sorry. I regret what I did. Please accept my apology. And that can be so powerful. For people to, and it's not anymore about the event. It's about reconciliation and respect for the other person. It's not about the whatever mistake you made. We're way past that at that point.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed on your apology, and lest people think otherwise, it's not like we talked about your apology other than the fact that you needed to apologize, but, there was a lack of exaggeration about the impact you had. There was hyperbole. There wasn't a whole lot of hyperbole around it. You kind of stuck to the facts.
Yeah. And again, that was one I learned the hard way. I used to, and I've seen other people do it too. And when you notice it, if people start noticing this, you'll see a lot of quasi or false apologies. People will apologize in a way like, I'm sorry I ruined your whole day, or sorry, I was the biggest fool in the world. What a jerk I was. Well, what people are doing in that case is they're overstating the error or the mistake or the offense in order to encourage the other person to say, no, 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 it wasn't all that. Please don't. Oh, no, no, no. It was no big deal. It's no problem. They're actually doing it in order to make themselves to get help getting off of the schneid, if you will, to get off the difficult moment.
Yeah, to make the actual wrong doing
seem
so small in comparison to, you know, ending the world, for example.
Yes, exactly. So you want to stay narrow and specific. Think even factually when you talk about what you did. Don't say, I'm sorry you ruined your whole day. Say, I apologize for making you miss your flight. Or rather than saying, sorry, I was such a total jerk, say, I'm sorry I answered that client with the wrong data. Don't try to make it sound awful to get sympathy, just so that somebody will say, oh, it wasn't that bad. Be specific, be direct, have the right mindset. It'll be much more effective.
What do you do after all that? What if the person doesn't accept your apology? What do you do then?
Yeah, that's a, you know, now we're kind of getting into really sort of the, it's almost like the rules of dueling, you know, the subtleties of etiquette in civil society. Acceptance is absolutely not required for you to have met your obligation that when you make a mistake, you need to own up to it and apologize. Now, look, you certainly we expect people to be kind and polite in their response to our apology. But whether they are or are not is irrelevant to your responsibilities in this instance. You've made an error. You've apologized. The matter is closed. The matter doesn't stay open because they didn't accept your apology. In their mind, it's still open, but quite frankly, probably they're holding a grudge or they're unwilling to be forgiving, which is a, you know, Horseman's, I think it's sixth law or seventh law, you know, how you feel is your fault. If you want to carry around that anguish and that hurt, you knock yourself out, but that's not something I'm doing. There's the old saying, the old story about the two monks who come to the river and they're in an order that does not allow them to interact with or touch women in any way. And a woman is standing there desperate to get across the river to be back in touch with her family. And one of the monks picks the woman up and carries her across the river, fords the river with her and puts her on the other side of the river and they part ways. After a couple of hours, finally, the first monk turns to him and says, how can you possibly have done that? Our order swears us not to. And even though she needed help, how can you possibly do that? And the monk that picked the lady up looked and said, I put that lady down hours ago. Are you still carrying her around?
Yeah.
So look, if somebody wants to do that, that they're entitled to that. And, maybe I'd take, if somebody didn't accept my apology, I might take a moment and say, how good an apology did I do? Was I full and complete and appropriately groveling and so on? And if I did, I'd let it go.
Okay. And the last of our kind of things we want to talk about here is that you can't halfway apologize, right? There's no halfway on apologies.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't really, when we talk about this one, what I mean is the kind of casual apology, the leaning on the door frame. Hey, yo, man, sorry about that. You know, sort of a Sammy Davis Jr. kind of sneer or a little just kind of letting it slip out. Yo, man, sorry. You can't say something to try to make somebody feel better without accepting responsibility / blame for what you did. You can't be clever and make it sound good, but not really mean it. If you're not willing to get in the right mindset, don't bother. Don't toss off an apology or do it in a way that is less than respectful. If you stay close to the idea of I'm going to be respectful and I'm going to take a moment and confess a sin, if you will, regardless of your religious persuasion, obviously, confess a sin in terms of not doing well by another person, a moment, a pause, and remembering that moment in your day later, as opposed to just making another brief conversation and sort of a drive-by. I think if you take the time, if you do it right, you're going to get a lot of credit for that. And if you do it half-heartedly, people are going to think you don't really mean it. And if they don't think you really mean it, they wonder whether or not you really learned. And they wonder whether or not you're really sincere or whether you really care about them at all, if in fact you've offended or hurt or made more difficult the professional life of somebody around you.
Yeah. You just mentioned the getting in the right mindset. Now, when you first discussed this with me, I was kind of mesmerized a little bit about it because, you know, we've all played sports and got pumped up for a big game gotten, you know, I do martial arts and, you know, getting in the right mindset when you're getting ready to get your ears boxed somebody.
I remember, Mike, when you were getting ready to take your black belt test. I mean, the couple of weeks before, it was a ramp up. It was a whole thing. You were a little bit more edgy and you were getting excited and a little bit more crisp. And it was exciting to watch. I mean, you were clearly gunning for that day and that time. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so when you talked about getting in the right mindset for apologizing, I was little taken back. So Shura says, what do you mean by
Yeah, that? I think it does take people aback. Now, particularly confident people, they're kind of surprised by it. But look, the correct mindset for delivering an apology is groveling.
Groveling.
I'm really quite serious. I mean, it really – and in fact, if you think about it, Mike, you and I as examples of many, many successful people who are listening to this cast right now, we're perhaps a little type A. We're successful. We're trying to do better. We're learning. We're growing. We're changing all the time, trying to adapt and keep up with the world around us. And we tend to see ourselves as doing our best all the time. And then suddenly to say, no, we're going to take a step back and we're going to kneel in front of somebody else. It doesn't, you know, particularly for the high D's or the high C's, they, you know, that's a tough one for them. But I really mean groveling. I mean contrite, embarrassed, chastened, red-faced, chagrined, brought low, brought to heel, kneeling, crawling, humbled, abashed. On your knees, accepting of punishment if it's forthcoming, crawling up to your direct's feet if need be, none of your role, power, and evidence, no titles involved, you on the ground, begging forgiveness and another chance. I mean, not literally, not asking, may I please have another chance, but that kind of mindset is incredibly helpful to get the excuses and to get the I'm sorry if and the I'm sorry you and the need to correct the mistake and the need for hyperbole. It leaches all of those problems right out of it, and you boil it down to, you know what, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, it was wrong, and I regret it. Please forgive me.
I love it. Like, you can make as many mistakes as you want with me. Yeah, if every time you make a mistake, you grovel, I am totally digging it, dude.
So suddenly, I feel perfect.
every time you make a mistake, I'm going to remind you more often when you make mistakes. This is great.
That was a mistake. Minor mistake. Sharing with me. Minor mistake. I think we need some groveling over here. Yes. You know what? You do that. You put the right words around the right mindset, and we're going to about to go over the words here in just a second. People will say classy response, or else they'll think, man, a lot of people make mistakes, but she really owns up to them. I wouldn't be surprised if she learns faster than other people too. One of the dangers of not owning up to your mistakes is the executives wonder whether or not you see that you did make a mistake. And if you don't see you made a mistake, you don't know that you did. And if you don't know that you did, you can't learn from it.
Right. Lack of self-awareness.
Yeah. Exactly.
And also, sure. I think you'd say that the most confident people I know are the ones that are most willing to apologize.
Yes. I find that to be exceptionally true. It's a function of the fact that I'm not allowing me or anybody else to judge me in any 5-minute incident. And I'm confident enough that I can grovel to somebody else and it doesn't change who I am or how good I am. Yeah.
Okay. So enough of what not to do and then the right mindset to get into. So let's get into how to do it. I mean, we have 4 steps in the 4 steps. Sounds like some 60s Motown band or something.
Yes, it does.
The 4 steps. So what are the 4 steps?
Okay. First, you state your apology. Then you admit you were wrong. Then you express regret or contrition, a word I love, contrition or contriteness. And then you describe corrective actions. Actually, it's actually 3.5 steps, if you will, because it depends on what kind of mistake you've made, what situation you're in, what type of corrective action you would do. But it would be 4 steps in either case. So let's go through each of those 4 in a little bit more detail. First of all, and by the way, this goes when it comes to apologies. I find that they're a bit like a set piece because you don't need to have a lot of dialogue when you're apologizing. People don't tend to interrupt. It's a bit like a speech in that it's good to own your opening and your closing. Know what it is you're going to say. And I'll tell you, I use 3. Almost always, I use 1 most of all for a reason I'll share in just a moment. And the 3 examples I'll give you are, please accept my apology. I am so sorry. and I apologize. My favorite of all three of those is the third one because it's so simple. And it actually uses the word apology, which I think, or uses a form of that, which I think is better received than I'm sorry. People who violate all of our no-nos above are always saying sorries with the word if, or I'm sorry you, or they try to do it half-heartedly or kind of dash one off real quickly. Using the word apology in the classic form rather than saying sorry, I believe is a subtle clue about what's coming, and that the fact that it's a little bit more formal eliminates any chance that you will be too casual. And if you know, if it's a fine line and you're apologizing to a peer or to a boss, and they believe that you have been too slightly too casual, that significantly, in my opinion, detracts from the value of apologizing.
Well, I apologize is a much more active verb than I am sorry. Actually, sorry is not a verb, right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. You're expressing how you feel, exactly. I apologize means I am saying I have remorse over the actions and the offense they caused you. Yes. I just believe it has a lot more power. And let me mention one other thing. I mentioned casual, Mike. One thing we haven't mentioned is physically what to do. The best apologies are done standing up, feet planted, feet not moving, facing your recipient. Now, just to be clear, I think I've said this before in another cast. Facing your recipients means that you draw a line that goes through your body and your shoulders, and then a line perpendicular to that line coming out of your chest should point directly at the chest of the recipient. You don't do it at a little bit of an angle. You shouldn't have to turn your head. Your head should be straight ahead because your shoulders are square to that person and you're facing them as you're talking to them. Don't lean on the door frame of their office. Stand up, stand straight up, and say out loud you are wrong. They will crown you queen or king. Okay, so we say, I apologize. And then you actually admit you were wrong. Sometimes we apologize and then we don't say we were wrong. And there's an assumption that we're doing an apologize for, or, you know, we're apologizing if they were offended. We're apologizing for how they feel rather than the fact
that we were
wrong.
What if I wasn't wrong?
It doesn't matter. If in fact someone took offense, because we can't adjudicate every single possible subtle offense that exists in the world, let me take that back. If you don't think you were wrong, don't apologize. And let those of us who know how to apologize and who are wrong, and by the way, you're wrong about as often as us, we're going to apologize. We're going to learn from it. Other people are going to respect us more and we're going to grow. And if you don't believe you're ever wrong, that's okay. Pretty soon word will get around that you're wrong. You just don't know it and you'll forever be limited. And, you know, what's that old Yale or Harvard cheer? That's all right. That's okay. You'll all work for us someday. Yeah. So admit you were wrong. You were wrong in that the results didn't turn out the way you expected. One of the results being your boss is ticked. Even if you got pretty close to your goal, if your boss is ticked, apologize. It sounds like this. I was wrong, or I made a mistake, or the fault is mine. Even if three people share the blame, you can only apologize for yourself, and so take responsibility. Okay? Number three, express regret or contrition. Think about where we are so far. You've said you're sorry. You've apologized. You've admitted it was your fault, which is taking responsibility. All that's left to do is you say that you feel badly about your mistake. Just the first two without the third is a little bit of a cold delivery. And I find it's somewhat true among technical managers. When they apologize, which is a lot less than other folks, they leave this third step out, saying, I regret my error, or I'm contrite about it, or what have you. So it just feels less complete and fulfilling to be on the receiving end of a two-step in this three or, in fact, four-step world. So I regret it happened. I can see my error now, and I'm sorry for any offense it caused and for the mess that that I will clean up later today. And then step four, which is really kind of 3.5, you describe corrective actions, okay? So in the event that you've made a business error as opposed to a personal one, again, you want to send a message that you're going to make things right or solve the problem, correct your error. And the point I'm making here is no more than two sentences without commas about what actions you're going to take. Mike, the problem is as soon as we allow people to start talking about what they're going to do, they rush through the first three steps in order to get into corrective actions or brainstorming about solving the problem or getting out of the hole or filling up the ditch or plugging the leak or what have you. And they think that they're going to be in just a standard business planning meeting kind of thing with a attendance of two, the person they're apologizing to and themselves. We need to be brief. And so that's why I say two sentences and without commas, because if I just say two sentences, there are people who can put together 1,000 words clumsily with a lot of commas that are two sentences. So two sentences without commas about what actions you've taken.
And if it's in a business situation where the corrective action is more detailed and needs to be covered in a lot more detail, then you'd recommend cover that in a separate meeting or make reference to an email or some other way of
still you could easily say, I'm working on it. It's clear that we'll need to have another meeting to solve the problem. Or my team has addressed it. We have a plan and you'll see the plan by the end of the day.
Right. And the point here is that you don't want to overwhelm with the detail on the corrective action because it doesn't allow the person time to feel and understand the apology, right? It's important to get some kind of emotional closure on the apology itself.
Yes, and not only that, but it also takes away from their ability. They're dealing with the apology at the moment, and then you're throwing the curveball of suddenly giving them a lot of detail if you're not careful about actions. And those are two very different things to be talking about. And so you'll lose the effect of both of them at the same time.
Good. And so that's it?
That's it. Four things. Say you're sorry. Apologize. In other words, say I apologize. Admit you were wrong. And express regret or contrition. And then in the case of a business error, describe corrective actions.
And this is one of those things that I think that our experience has been that people make far, far more errors than there are steps in the process. So if you kind of avoid some of the errors we talked about, the apology itself is pretty straightforward.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the more you add to it, the greater chance you have for error. In fact, I find that I tend to be better apologizing in person, even though sometimes written apologies come across real well because one can redo them over and over again. But the temptation so often in writing is to go on a little bit. Whereas once you've had the emotional impact of a verbal apology, you know you've made your apology. You don't want to keep going. You want to get out of there. I find brevity is the soul of a good apology. It's really three steps in the event of a personal offense.
Yeah. Say you're sorry. Admit you're wrong. Express regret. Describe corrective actions very briefly. And all while doing my favorite, groveling.
Groveling. That's it. And that groveling really, for some people, is a struggle, but it's a good struggle to be engaged in. It's a thing, you know, it's a reminder that we're all human. And at any given time, we all ought to be willing to go to one knee in front of somebody else in order to help them. If you're always reaching down to help people, people recognize that. And they feel that at times you're putting yourself on a pedestal. So it doesn't hurt to get down on one knee and help somebody. And to look up at somebody else and to say, you know, it was my fault, and I'm you're the aggrieved party, and I made an error.
And dude, if you need help practicing, I'm here for you. Okay.
Yeah, I know you are. That's what great partners are all about. You're a great partner.
Excellent. All right, my friend. Thanks for sharing again.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Bye. Well, there you have it. A little story about one of Mark's gaffes. They don't happen very often, but when they do, they're always kind of humorous, and how to apologize in 3.5 quick, easy steps. So find someone you've recently offended or done something they didn't appreciate and practice apologizing. And when you do so, remember Mark's example and grovel just a bit. And like I said earlier in the podcast, if you want to practice with me, feel free. As always, you can do that by sending us email at show@manager-tools.com, or better yet, you know, grovel a little publicly and go to the discussion forums at www.manager-tools.com/forums. Hope to see y'all there. Until next week, folks, so long.